My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I swore that I'd take this story to my grave. But ever since it's happened, it's been weighing down on me each day, threatening to crush my mind. This left flicker of hope that someone out there who's experienced something similar to this might read and understand, that maybe the fragmented pieces might fall into place. Since childhood, I've always been drawn to the beach. In the summer, I lived for the days where we'd head out to the beach, where I'd endure stifling car trips to tumble about on the golden shore. It was no surprise to anyone who knew me that I became a lifeguard. It's not all bronzed gods and goddesses in tight red swimsuits to the rescue in slow motion. It's sweltering for 40 hours a week on land, trying to keep sight over 200 people, strangers whose very lives you've sworn to protect. There are the odd few rescues, but they're children and adults, the latter more inebriated, who swim out too far from shore. Still, I can't deny the fulfillment I get whenever I jump into the water with a rescue tube in my hand. My free time was spent there, surfing or swimming, or just sitting on a rock, listening to the waves crashing into each other. The beach was almost a part of me. I thought that I was prepared for anything. I wasn't. It happened last July, during peak beach-going season, where the beach was so packed that not a single square foot of golden sand could be seen, hidden under blankets and deck chairs. Then, a series of shrill shrieks burst into the air, which were far from the delighted screeches I'd been so used to hearing. Something was wrong. Tilting down my polarized glasses, I stood up at full attention and scrambled for my binoculars. Blinking through them, I saw a crowd gathering at the far right end of the shore. Clambering down the ladder, I jammed the whistle hanging round my neck into my mouth and gave a few frantic blasts to get them to disperse. As the bare, sun-reddened legs of the crowd shuffled back, I found myself confronted with something far beyond my expectations. A little girl, by my own estimates, either 9 or 10, was curled up into a fetal position on the scalding sand, her head buried in her knees as she tried to hide herself away from the crowding faces. Her unkempt, saltwater slick hair clung to her tiny form, trailing down just above her ankles, with dried crystals crowning the thick brown strands like a pearl crown. It covered nearly every inch of her body, like her suit coat, leaving only her thin arms and legs visible. A massive bloody gash ran down the side of her left thigh, a strip of seaweed draped over it like a makeshift bandage. Still trying to process the situation, I bent down next to her. Hey, I know you're in a lot of pain right now, but I need you to help me. I promise you, it's going to be okay. The rapid contractions of her frail chest slowed to a shudder. Her dark eyes stared up at me from within a pale, narrow face. Her face was so drawn that her cheeks were almost hollow, which only served to make her eyes look even larger. She didn't look like a human child at all. More like an elf or an alien human hybrid. "Did you hurt yourself out there when you were swimming? What's your name? Can you speak English?" I turned to the crowd for answers. "Are her parents here?" I asked. There were only blank faces. Nobody seemed to know where the girl had come from, or even what her name was. Not even her. After wrapping a beach towel around to give her some dignity, I led her away from the dozens of curious eyes. She clung to me all the way, her clay-grimed fingernails leaving tiny white half-crescent indentations in my forearm. Her shaking had stopped, grateful to be away from the stifling mob. Her eyes never left my face, awed and unblinking. The corners of her mouth would twitch, and her throat swelled, as if she wanted to say something, but the words remained trapped inside. I remembered a recent documentary I'd watched on television about a girl who was hidden away from her family for the first 13 years of her life. Nobody else in the family had been allowed to speak to her, and she'd been subjected to routine abuse by her father. Her days had been spent alone in a dark room, strapped to a potty and stewing in her own filth. By the time people found out about her existence, she was more animal than child. She didn't know how to communicate, or that there was even a world outside her little cell. I found myself combing my heat-addled brain, trying to remember a name. Jenny? Jenny? It didn't matter. It was as if she was hobbling right beside me, a strange, silent child who didn't belong in this modern world. She cowered underneath the sunlight, trying to block it out by burying her face under her hair. Her legs swayed underneath her to the point that I had to lead her along, like a father guiding his unsteady toddler's first steps. I'd taken her far away from prying eyes to the tight blue lifeguard tower, balanced on four rickety wooden legs. There, I applied every vital piece of information I'd learned from basic first aid training as I tended to her wounds, swabbing the area with sterilized cotton before slapping a cotton band-aid all over it. All the while, I contemplated how long it would take for the police to get here. Jackie watched from the corner, her arms folded and eyes wide. She was a swim team champion, her broad shoulders parting the waters like the Red Sea whenever she dove in. The child stared up at her, her mouth agape. "Where the hell did you find her?" she exclaimed. "Far side," I sighed. "I think she might have cut herself on a rock while out running. I don't know. She's not telling anyone. I even tried Spanish with her. The kid's completely mute, Jack. I couldn't find her family anywhere. I'm starting to think that she doesn't have one." As a leg dangled off the chair, I saw a map of paling, half-faded scars. The largest stretched from her mid-thigh, ending just below her sternum. She wore the weather-beaten skin of someone decades older than her. Jackie noticed and was close to tears. Despite her hard edges, she always held a soft spot for kids. She rustled a hand through her jacket, slung over a coat hanger in the corner, and fished the candy bar out from her pocket. "Hey, sweetness," she cooed. "You want this?" She pried open the girl's fingers and pressed the treat into her palms. The little girl held it like it was a pipe bomb before giving it a wary sniff. Then she had shoved the entire thing into her mouth, plastic and all. Wincing, I pulled the now saliva-soaked candy bar out of her mouth and peeled it open for her. Her almost black eyes bulged out of her head as the chocolate and toffee-coated nugget hit her tongue. She wolfed it down in under 15 seconds, as if it was the first time she'd eaten in a week. Jackie and I watched in horrified fascination. "Jesus," Jackie murmured behind her hand. I could only nod in agreement. It was then that the name resurfaced into my memory. Jeannie. That had been the name of that little girl. And, looking at the one that sat in our office, it stuck in the absence of a real name. While we had called up the authorities, Jeannie remained blissfully ignorant of her own circumstances. She'd been engrossed by the interior of the office, poking and tugging at whatever she could get her hands on. As I watched her, guilt churned me. There was no way that she would stand a chance out there. It felt like I signed a death warrant. As day fell into evening, the crowds dispersed from the beaches, until the only noise outside was the hissing sift of waves falling over each other. "What the hell is taking them so long?" Jackie wondered, drumming her fingers against the desk. I would have answered her, but I found myself in an intense tug of war with Jeannie, who'd grown attached to a picture of a fish that she'd ripped off the wall amidst the nautical display. As I wrestled it away, there was a flash of white as she growled at me. There was something about her that made me uneasy, but I just couldn't put my finger on what it was. It was only now that I could see. Jeannie's teeth were pointed. They glinted up in the fading sun, as if someone had filed them into shark-like tips. It had to be some medical condition. At least that's what I told myself, grasping for a rational explanation for it. They probably only looked pointed because of the angle of the light. Just an optical illusion. Human teeth just didn't look like that. My attentions were drawn to the massive black clouds that were slowly encroaching in on us. The blood-red danger flag already flapping outside. Great, I mumbled to myself. A storm was the last thing we needed right now. At the first distant rumble of thunder we heard, Jeannie leapt up out of a chair, staring at the ceiling. She stared up at the ceiling in silent anticipation. After several hours of complete silence, she spoke. "Ma." Jackie and I had looked at each other in silent disbelief. No words were exchanged. The same question was on both our lips. Did that just happen? When the booming crack sounded again, closer this time, her face lit up. She let out an elated howl, jumping up and down as she punched at the air with her fists. "Ma, da," she squealed. She rushed over to the window, where she bounced up on her heels in an attempt to elevate herself up to see out of the droplet-soaked glass. I peered over her shoulder, but the only thing out there was torrential rain. The dismal weather outside did little to damper Jeannie's sudden excitement. "Ma, da, 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 ma." "Ma?" Jackie had mouthed over to me from across the room. I shrugged, just as confused. Jeannie tugged me by my shirt in the direction of the door. Despite being 20 years younger than me and at least 100 pounds lighter, she pulled me about like I was nothing more than a rag doll. I had to dig my feet into the floorboards as an anchor to prevent myself from being completely bowled over. "Hold on," I told her. "It's raining outside. You can't go out there." "Ma, da," she whined, her hand groping out towards the handle. The syllables were stretched out with her incessant tone into a "ma." I'd had enough. I shifted into my lifeguard mode, reserved for those who repeatedly ignored the warning whistles. I swiveled around by the shoulders. "You need to stay in here. I won't ask you again." A primal rage contorted her young face. Pain burst across my arm as she darted forward and sank her teeth into my forearm, biting down hard enough to tear away a small strip of skin. I knew then that it wasn't any trick of the light when they tore through my flesh. Even today, I still feel it. I doubled over in agony, with Jackie soon rushing to my side. While we had been distracted, we were both suddenly blasted by a freezing wind. We looked up, only to see the door swinging open, with Jeannie having long vanished into the storm. I ran headlong into it with my jacket not even zipped up, flapping behind me like a cape. Jackie yelled out something behind me, but it was drowned out by the whipping air. I didn't care about the onslaught soaking me to my skin or the winds that threatened to knock me off my feet. My only concern was the short figure that was disappearing into the storm. "Jeannie," I yelled after her. My voice was the flutter of butterfly wings inside a hurricane. She disappeared from my sight and into the wild wet. I'd lost her. The spirit I'd started with had slowed to a stagger, my ankles being weighed down by the sand, which had taken on a quicksand-like consistency. Then, as soon as it had started, the storm stopped. The sky that had been pelting down moisture sealed itself, the winds dwindling, leaving the red flag outside the tower hanging limply on the pole. A sliver of sun peeked out through the dissolving grey. Through the mist and condensation, I saw her, staring out of the oncoming tide. I puffed towards her, only to skid to a halt as I saw what she was looking at in the distance. Two massive shadowy figures stood beside each other, facing us. They towered out of the sea, hundreds of miles tall, the peaks of their heads obscured by the cloud layer. The one on the left was stockier and wide, and powerful as a mountain, who could have sent a tidal wave surging towards us with a single step. His companion on the left was just as formidable, but slightly taller, their broad shoulders tapering inwards into subtle feminine curves. forget the beach. Between the two of them, they could have easily razed an entire city to ruins. Jeannie's face held no trace of fear as she strained her neck up at them. Instead, a wide smile was plastered across her face.
Ma, she whispered with muted awe. Da.
I was wrong. She did have family after all. And they'd found her. The left being let out a deep, droning bellow, the reverberations of which had me struggling to stay upright. It was obvious what it meant. A warning. They might have been docile now, but not for long. Jeannie turned to me, dark eyes brimming with emotion, torn between me and a massive kin. Go to them, I told her, waving an encouraging, trembling hand in the air. They've been waiting for you. Despite the many walls between us, she understood my words by the acquiescing bow I gave. She grinned, displaying her juvenile fangs, before rushing towards the water and diving in, flecks of foam hitting me in the face as she did. I watched as she swam farther out of the shore until her black shiny head was swallowed up by the endless blue. The two titans retreated, each one of their steps swirling up whirlpools of water around their ankles. Then, they just disappeared, as if they had walked off the invisible edge of the world. I don't know how long I stood there, staring out at the sea, until I became aware of the squeal of tires and flashing lights around me. It's been said that we know more about space than we do about our own oceans. I think it might be safer to stick with the stars. There are some things out there that should remain unknown.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.